I thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And I pray that everyone listening to me will have open ears to hear your word and an open heart to receive your word. And I rest in your anointing, in the anointing that you placed upon me. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All righty. I want to jump back in for a little while where I left off, or maybe I might cover some things that I covered last week, but listen to me. This is very, very important. Christians should not be ignorant. I said Christians should not be ignorant.
Amen.
Now, sometimes when folks hear, excuse me, sometimes when folks hear that word ignorant, they take it as an insult. But it's not an insult, really. What ignorance is a lack of knowledge concerning a thing. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Let me find it. This is not where I was going, but I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you drop down to the 13th verse, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian church, but not only is he writing to the Thessalonian church, he's writing to the church of today. Amen? We still have the Word of God, but the Thessalonian church, they're in heaven right now. But we're still here. Listen what it says. But I do not want you to be what? What? Now, he's talking to believers here, isn't he? Well, it says brethren right after that. Amen. He said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. In other words, know what's happening, know what's going on. Just don't be ignorant about it. And I, you know, growing up, you know, I've heard people use that word as an insult, but it shouldn't be that way, you know. And, you know, I grew up around some of the older folks, and you know, I'd hear them say things like this, that somebody they were frustrated with, you know, old ignorant thing. And they didn't mean that as a compliment. But what ignorance is a lack of knowledge. So the Apostle Paul, and I'll go ahead and finish reading this, then we'll go back where we were going. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, those who have fallen asleep, he's not talking about those who just went to bed. He's talking about those who have died in Christ. Okay? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, or those who have died in Jesus. See, God wants us to know about this. Right?
Amen.
For we For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice he said the dead in Christ this time, not the sleeping Christ, but the dead in Christ. He's referring to the same thing. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, what are we to do? Comfort one another with these words. So we should, listen, we should be talking about the coming of the Lord, right? Amen. We should stay up to date, because it's going to happen. And I believe it's going to happen real soon. I'm going to tell you that right now. So we are not to be ignorant. In other words, we're not to have a lack of knowledge. We're not to be in the dark when it comes to these things. And let me tell you something, not just the coming of the Lord and the catching away of the church, we need to be enlightened. We need to know what the Word of God is saying. Just like I read Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2, we need to know these things. We don't need to be born again people walking around in darkness simply because we don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, let's go back to where we were last week, to the book of Hosea. So turn back to the book of Hosea. Now, we could say it this way, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, we could actually say it this way, my people are destroyed because of ignorance. Simply because they don't know. But that ain't the way it's worded, is it? It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we still have this problem in the church today. Not just in the church, but with those outside the church. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth, many of them. Thank God, not all of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks are getting born again every day. Can somebody say amen? Folks are getting touched by God every day, but some reject the knowledge. But the sad thing about it is, even in the church and in the house of the Lord, sometimes God's people reject knowledge. In other words, sometimes we just want to receive selective knowledge. If what I'm hearing will put some money in my pocket, preach to me, brother. If what I'm hearing will get me healed, preach to me, brother. Preach to me, sister. I want to hear that, because I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being broke. But if what you're preaching to me, if you're telling me that I need to repent and live right, then you need to go somewhere with that. That's called rejection. If a brother or sister approach you in love, notice I said in love. A spiritual brother or sister. Now, all right, glory to God. Just hold your place there at Hosea chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, this proves what I'm saying. Let me read it to you. I'm in the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Beginning at verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man, and it could be a woman, is overtaken in any trespass, and I'm reading the New King James Bible, I think the original King James says in fault, right? Fault, yeah, okay. But if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are what? Spiritual. Oh, by the way, a spiritual person is not one that can quote all the scriptures, is not one that, you know, jerks when he feels the spirit. And I'm not knocking any of that, okay? I'm not being critical. I'm making a point. A spiritual person is not just one that can dance before the Lord. A spiritual person is not only one that knows the Word of God, loves God, walks with God. A spiritual person is also a person that walks in love towards their fellow brothers and sisters and the unbelievers as well. Amen. That's biblical, folks. Sometimes we get impressed with people that do all the other things. But do they walk in love? So let me finish reading this. Hallelujah. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be also be tempted. Hallelujah. Now, why am I reading this? We are supposed to help one another in love. Now, if a brother or sister comes to you in love, everybody say in love, and they're trying to help you, should you reject them? Should you tell them, get out of my face? I don't want to hear what you got to say. No, because they're coming to you with the right attitude, not with a judgmental attitude, not with I'm more spiritual than you type attitude, I'm up here and you down there type attitude. But no, they come to you with an attitude of love because they care about you. They are trying to pull you out of the fire. You hear me? They're trying to pull you out of the fire because they love you. Amen. Now, of course, not everybody approach you that way. But that's the way we are told. That's what we are told to do. And we are supposed to receive those that come to us in love. And you know when folk love you, when they just being otherwise, don't you? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go back to Hosea. These are some things that the Lord just gave me, and I just wanted to share with you. But now, I'm back at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But listen to what it says. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Hallelujah. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Hallelujah. We need knowledge. We must be people in the know. We must be people that know our God and know His Word. Hallelujah. And I covered this last week in, first of all, we know, we should know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit, and we covered this last week, so we won't go there again tonight, but the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Amen. And we also know that Jesus Christ is our healer. Am I right? Amen. Now, let me tell you something. We need to know who we are as a Christian. We need to walk like Christ. We need to talk like Christ. We need to act like Christ and know who we are in Him and as a believer. Now, a good example of this, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. And I just want to read a little bit. See where I want to begin. We could read the whole chapter and shout, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll just begin at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, you see that? And we know that all things, now see, there's some things we need to know. And we know that all things work together for good. Think about that for a moment. And we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Huh? Say that again. To those who love God. Not put on an act, not put on a show, but those who love God. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. See, here's the thing. When things get tough, don't seem like things are going your way, when it seems like God's not even paying attention, and he always is. When it seems like God is not paying attention, when it seems like God is too busy to give you a few minutes, and we all know that's a lie. When things are uncomfortable, the Word of God says that we know, grab a hold of this, don't let it go. We know that all things are working together for our good if we love God and we're called according to his purpose. So, you know, you have to ask yourself this. When you're going through some tough times, things just seem not to work out. Maybe you lost out on a job opportunity or something. You need to stop and ask yourself this. Do I love God? And if your answer is yes, do I want his will done in my life? If your answer is yes, then it don't matter what you're dealing with right now, it's going to work out for your good. If you don't believe me, ask Paul and Silas when you get to heaven. Can't ask them now because they're not here. I can imagine Paul saying, yeah, brother. Yes, sister. We were locked up in that jail. In the center of the jail at midnight. And things was real dark. But we knew that all things worked together for our good because we loved him and we knew we were called according to his purpose. So we began to sing and we began to praise God because we knew that this thing's going to work out for our good. God's going to get the glory out of this, and we're going to get the victory. Amen. Guess what? The jail doors flew open. Oh, and by the way, when you read that over in Acts, it also mentions the fact that the other fellow prisoners was listening. Doesn't say what they thought about them. They probably thought they were crazy. Now get this, it's working out. The jailer got saved. His house got saved. In other words, his family got saved. Just always remember, Father, I thank you that this is working out for my good. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God sent your problem. I'm not saying God sent it. The devil sent it. But God can get the glory out of it. And you can get the victory. You can have the victory. Are you listening to me? Let me read 28 again. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when he predestined these, he also called whom he called. Let me reread that, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I'm predestined. Now let me explain that, because some people take that the wrong way. When I say predestined, that doesn't mean you didn't have anything to do with you getting saved. Some folks say, well, some folks are predestined to go to hell and some predestined to go to heaven. No. The Bible says it's not God's will that any be lost, but that all come to Jesus. Amen. But here's the thing. God gave us the freedom, the liberty to make a decision. Hallelujah. Amen. Terry, if I tell you, man, I got a great gift outside for you, 2023 Escalade. I don't. As good as that sound, the decision is still yours to receive it or reject it. You hear? I could tell my wife before we left the house, man, I'm going to buy Terry a brand new Escalade. I can tell my children, I'm going to buy Terry a brand new Escalade. I can tell my friends all that and do it. That's my will. That's what I want to do. But when I offer it to him, he says no. That's the end of it. So it's God's will that all of us be saved, born again. Amen. So say this again. Say, I'm predestined. I'm here at verse 30. And also say this, I'm also called. I'm justified. Hallelujah. And I'm glorified. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Oh, God is so good. And I took him up on his offer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I took him up on his offer. Gave me a free gift, and I didn't turn it down. Now let's look at verse 31. Wow. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, now you answer the question. Whoa. No. I didn't say read on. I said answer the question. If God is for us, is he for you?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
God's on your side.
Yes.
God's on my side.
Yes.
So, if God is for us, and he is, then who can be against us? Hallelujah. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You see that? Jesus died for everybody. Say that again. Jesus died for everybody. God didn't have a selective few and tell them, I want you to go and die for those because they're predestined for salvation. The rest of them, I'm going to send them to hell. I'm going to send them to the lake of fire. No. That's not what God said. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? Say what? All things. All things. Hallelujah. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Why do people portray God as being so mean and bad? He's not a mean God. God is a good God. God is a loving God. He hates sin, but he loves people. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Even as I speak, Jesus Christ is making intercession for us. Who shall separate us, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer to that is nobody or no thing. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, verse 37, yet in all these things we are what? Why? If you go back up to verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Back down to 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And I'm adding this part, and nobody shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, we need to know that. We need to walk in that. When times are dark, know that all this is working together for good. God's not trying to kill me. God's not trying to hurt me. Because I love him. I'm walking with him. Now, we know sometimes we get our own self in trouble when we rebel against God and try to go our own way. And sometimes we blame that on God when it's our fault. But when we love him, because we're called according to his purpose, going to work out for our good. Now, I honestly didn't know I was going to spend this much time right here, so I'm getting ready to finish up, but here's what I want to leave you with. If you're in a tough place right now, if it's your fault, if you've been disobedient or rejected knowledge or whatever, go, all you have to do right now is repent of it. Repent. Lord, I repent. I changed my mind about the direction I'm going or the things that I want to do. You just go ahead and repent of it. And walk with God, and he'll bring you out. But you might say, Pastor, I hadn't done anything. I love God. I've been true to him. I've been walking with him. But yet I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with the other. Always remember, all things are working together for your good. It may not feel good. It may not look good. May not sound good, but you're a child of God and you love God and it's working out for your good. Why? Because God has made us more than conquerors. You believe you're more than a conqueror? If you believe that, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me ask, thank you. Let me ask you this question. Can you raise your hand or say that you are more than a conqueror when you're at home? Maybe your children getting on your nerves. Are you more than a conqueror? When your husband or wife getting on your last nerve, are you more than conquerors? Now, y'all don't need to be looking around now. You be telling on yourself, just look at me. You understand what I'm saying? When you get a bill in the mail that you don't have the money to pay it, are you still more than a conqueror? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know who you are and act like it. Act like it. Live like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. Amen. I got to quit. I hope this blessed you. Glory to God. But you know it's the truth. I say, you know it's the truth. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that will never, ever return to you void.